Hey guys, busy week of podcasts here at Cyclone Fanatic. Yesterday, I want to thank Steve Prohm, Iowa State head coach, for sitting down with me for the Iowa Clinic's Off the Record series. A very similar type of podcast today. Very laid back, very loose. I think you guys will really enjoy it. I think he's the best Iowa State player I've ever seen. His name is George Niang, now of the Indiana Pacers. Now he's coming back, and I'm going to let him tell you about a cool charity work that he's doing with Lindsay Finnelly. We'll touch on that. But before we do, today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. Here's the deal. I actually just clicked on the website. All sorts of new, great Iowa State flags to get your tailgate ready for the... Man, guys, football season's just around the corner. It's just a couple of weeks from now, and fall camp starts. So you got to get those tailgates planned. Heartland Flags. And here's the deal. When you do it, click on their ad on Cyclone Fanatic, the upper right corner of the website, because then they know that you're coming from our website. And that really helps support Cyclone Fanatic when these folks can know that they're getting traffic from us. And go and buy an Indiana Pacers flag today to support George Niang. How about that? All right, heartlandflags.com, Heartland Flags and Custom Flags. Great supporter of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Today's podcast with one of my all-time, probably maybe my all-time favorite Cyclone, George Niang. All right, guys, on the phone with me right now, I said this before his senior day. I said, just hang his jersey up that night. And George, I talked to him at the time. He didn't like the idea because he's a humble guy and he didn't want to take away from his teammates and stuff. But George, George, they need to hang up your jersey. How long? how many years? If you talk to Pollard, are we politicking? We got to get that jersey hung up.
Yeah, I'll shoot him a text right when we get off the phone.
How you doing, man? It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear yours. I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. I feel great. I'm excited for the up and coming year and new adventures for sure.
Everybody's worried about you. It sounded like I was on vacation in Okoboji when the news broke that you had hurt your knee in summer league, and everybody kind of freaked out because, you know, everybody loves you back here. It sounds like things are okay though, right? Why don't you calm some nerves back here?
Yeah, everybody can stay calm right now. I'm okay. It was just a bone bruise, which, you know, it's the same kind of the same thing that Melvin Edgem had before. I think it was the start of my sophomore year, or was just that a bone bruise.
Was that when you guys beat Michigan when he made the triumphant comeback?
Yeah, well, you know, we had a couple of those, so yeah, you can just add that one.
Well, no, but Melvin did. Like, he wasn't supposed to play, and he got ready for that game, right?
He did, yeah. Melvin was a warrior. Probably a little tougher than me, but...
You're not giving yourself enough credit there. But you're good, though. Like, when are you going to be back, like, full strength? Is it just, like, a bruise? Is that what you said?
Yeah, so, like, 2 to 3 weeks you want to rest it. I mean, it's some out of the off season, so... You know, they want to take their time with this and slowly ramp my workouts up. So everything is good with me. You know, I'm healthy. I wake up and do what I love. So I can't complain.
Yeah, that's great. You're also, we took a ton of questions from fans that I want to get to because I know how much you, what's one thing I loved about your era of Cyclone basketball is how well all of you guys connected with Iowa State fans. So I thought I'd give them the opportunity to kind of talk to you today through me. But you're coming back next week, and I want to make sure and promote this from the start. It's a really cool deal that you and Lindsay Finnelly are doing together. Why don't you tell everybody about what happens on Monday?
Yeah, no, Monday will be, you know, the first annual, you know, a golf outing that, you know, I'm running. And when I think back to, you know, the whole reason for me and, you know, Lindsay doing this was, you know, I just wanted to do more. You know, my first year out of Iowa State, you know, I did a basketball camp, you know, tried to give back some of my knowledge, but, you know, and did an auction for, you know, Blank Children's Hospital. But I think the biggest thing was, you know, that community gave me so much and helped me out, you know, since I stepped foot on campus or even before then and even still to this day. So, you know, I wanted to do something, you know, for the community, and I think this is a good start for that. You know, we're having a charity golf outing, and all the proceeds and money are going to Habitat for Humanity. And talking with Lindsay, we're going to, you know, raise from anywhere from 30 to $50,000 to build a house for a single parent in Ames, Iowa. So, you know, I think that's a start. You know, obviously each year I want to keep giving back, you know, even more, just because I can't say thank you enough to the community of Ames and what they did for me and how they made me feel and how they made my family feel. And like I said on senior night, you know, I'm coming back to a home, and you know, you always want to take care of home.
It was a two-way street too, George. I think that people reacted to you the way that they did because from day one, you know, before we started recording this, you were joking with me about how it reminded you of old days. So you're driving through your hometown while talking to me, correct? Is that what you said?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But I remember back when you were, when did you commit to Fred? Were you a junior in high school?
It was May 15th of my junior year.
Okay. So, but from that day forward, I think you were one of the first Iowa State athletes that I've covered. I think you were the first. I'll give you credit for this, to really embrace social media. You were. And I think people could connect with you because they saw you, if it was jabbing at Iowa fans, if it was just like cheering on other Iowa State teams, and this was before you even got on campus. So I think that they connected with you that way. And then when you got here, you know, you felt the love, you gave it back, and it was a really unique and pretty cool relationship.
Yeah, no, when you're saying this and all the memories are just running through my head, and it brings a smile to my face because how many good times and good people and good families that I've met. You know, I was talking to someone last night and I was like, gosh, I got to get back to Iowa, maybe even buy my own house out there. That was good living back then. I didn't know how good I had it.
Retell the story. It was, I think, the first time I ever talked to you. You were driving from Iowa State, or actually it was Iowa City, right? You visited Iowa before you visited Iowa State. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I visited Iowa State first.
Oh, okay. But you're driving you're driving down I-80 to Iowa City and you've never seen a cornfield before. What was that drive like for you?
Man, I was just distraught. I wasn't sure what I should be looking for because, you know, on the East Coast, usually there's like houses or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, overpasses, but in Iowa, there really wasn't much of anything besides cornfields. So nobody should go hungry, right?
No, darn right. It's sweet corn season here too, man. When you come back, pick up some sweet corn at one of those stands.
Oh, I need some. And so I was just a little bit in awe, but you know, there's a peacefulness to it. You know, where
absolutely,
you know. You sort of make your own out there. And I think what Iowa stands for is, you know, people make the place, you know, not the place making the place. I think, you know, Iowa would be considered boring to outsiders. But until you really get to know the people and, you know, how it started, and I think you're really missing out on such a great state and a great community.
When was the first time in your memory that you remember thinking, man, this is like home? Is there a moment that stands out to you?
To be honest with you, it was actually really early on. You know, it was Fan Fest, you know, where, you know, I hadn't even done anything for Iowa State. I just committed there, you know, real fan, you know, like real dedicated fans that, you know, look up the recruiting might know who you are, but, you know, other fans maybe not. But like through Fan Fest, they had us shooting free throws with the people, and we had to like slow it down because we had like a huge assembly line, and we were signing autographs. And I was like, "Wow, like the love is real here." And everyone, you know, seemed to know my name, calling me by my name, and all the other recruits that we had. And I was like, "Wow, you know, these people really care." And that's when, you know, I really started feeling like, "Wow, you know, the love is real here." You know, everywhere else, you know, it's sort of, you know, not the same, but. And when I got to Iowa State, it just felt so real.
Yeah, for sure. You just touched on something interesting, and then I want to get to these fan questions. But I wrote a column about Iowa State football earlier in the week, and I wrote that one of the reasons, like I listed five reasons why I think Iowa State football is ready to turn the corner. And one of them I put was the fans. And it's funny because I don't think every high school kid has the same type of you know, I don't think they're all looking for the same thing. I think some of them want cool uniforms. I think some of them want, they want to get paid. I think some of them want, you know, location's important. But I do believe that there, I still have faith, George, that there's still enough guys and kids at this point in their lives like you who want to play in front of people who care. Do you still think that, yeah, or are we going in the wrong direction here?
No, I think they're still out there. I mean, obviously the society that we live in today, you know, kids are attracted to money and, you know, the fine things. But when I told kids that, you know, I had on visits, you know, that were, I was hosting them, I told them, I was like, listen, man, you won't find anybody that is more passionate than, you know, Iowa State fans. I'm talking about in the rain, in the snow, they're waiting out there for you. And, you know, I think, you know, those are the type of people that we need to bring towards Iowa State, whether if they're coaches, players, you know, parents, it's people that, you know, want to be somewhere where people actually care about what they're doing. And that's Iowa State. If you want anything more than that, you know, you might not have be in the right place. I know Randy Peterson put out a tweet, and it was like talking about how the recruits that so-and-so that we missed. Well, when I was there, we missed out on a bunch of recruits, but all the guys that were there wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And we're going to, when our goal was to win, and nothing was going to stop us from winning. You know, sure, we didn't win every game, but there was nothing that was going to stop us from going out there and trying to kick the other team's butt.
Last question before I get to the fans. If you didn't break your foot, you guys, you're in the Final Four that year.
Oh,
right? I mean,
oh.
Now that, like, there's a lot of time in between, Fred's gone. Like, we can just be honest here. It's just a couple of friends talking. You guys are in the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we were. I mean, the road was set up for us.
Well, hell, I could even say your freshman year, you had a good shot at the Final Four. Had Aaron Kraft not hit that shot, you guys got jobbed in that game.
Yeah, no, that block charge call, that seems to be an evident mistake in my freshman year, whether if it was the Kansas game.
I forgot about Kansas, yeah. My bad, yeah, I didn't mean to bring up bad memories. I was more just trying to point out, man, how close you were after you said that you didn't win every game. But, like, the way I look back at it, I mean, you guys were damn close, even though you didn't necessarily make an Elite Eight or anything. I think if anybody's an educated basketball fan and they watch those games, you guys were a lot closer than people realize.
Right, right. Yeah, no, we were. We were maybe one or two plays away every year. And, you know, that kept us working. Maybe if I could come back from a 50, I'd...
I'm in.
You know, we'd go a little further.
Let's petition.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. That'd be like a dream come true.
While we're on the Iowa State topic, okay, this comes from Cy Twins on the Cyclone Fanatic Forum. And I also want to say to, man, we got, like, George, I put this out like 2 hours before we recorded. I bet I have 50-some responses, and we don't have time for all of them. So I picked out ones that I thought would create the best podcast, and I apologize.
Okay.
And I want to just thank everybody for their participation in this. But Cy Twins wants to know, did you see many Iowa State fans at any of your NBA games? How often did you see a Cyclone fan pop up?
You know, I could honestly say it was tough because if you know the Indiana Pacers, we have a jersey that's called the Hickory jersey.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So those are the Cyclone colors. So I would see those like few far in between and be like, oh, like, you know, and really look to see if that was like an Iowa State person. But there have been numerous times, like I was sitting in a Utah lobby. We had just got done playing the Jazz. I was getting ready to hop on the bus. I was grabbing something for one of the veteran guys, you know, because you have rookie duties in the NBA.
Oh, that sucks.
All those people out there that don't know what that is. And I think I was grabbing someone a coffee, and some guy tapped me on the shoulder and was like, are you George Niang? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I'm so-and-so from Iowa. We loved watching you play. And he ripped open his jacket and had his Cyclone shirt on.
All right.
I thought it was the coolest thing. But, yeah, I saw Cyclone fans everywhere. The Indiana Pacers even put together, like, a Cyclone night. And a bunch of Cyclones came early. We did a meet and greet. And it was really cool.
Very cool. That doesn't surprise me at all. Forbin's Ascent. What did you buy with your first NBA paycheck?
What did I buy with my first NBA paycheck? Well, people that know me know I'm pretty good with my money, or cheap, or whatever you say it. But
you're frugal. We'll put it that way. That's a good.
Yeah, I can't. To be honest, I can't even think. Maybe it was a mattress for my new apartment. To be honest with you,
That's a good investment, though, for a professional athlete.
Yeah, I got a king-size mattress. So I was over the queen-style living, so I got a king-size mattress. I think that was what about was my first NBA paycheck. I know they're probably trying to hear that they say that I bought a Mercedes-Benz, but I actually drive a truck for doing an advertisement for Mackey Motors. So shout-out to Mackey Motors in Lake City, Iowa, for hooking me up.
There you go. Little endorsement. I like it. You're a good businessman. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go to Twitter. Let's mix these things up just a little bit. This is a inside joke question, but I think you've probably heard it by now. Sarah wants to know if you know Nerlens Noel or if you ever played against him.
Yeah, you know.
Do you know what that's about? Did you catch on to those jokes by the end of your career?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, France for sure. The Cyclone Bingo, right?
Yeah, you know it. You know the Ted Flint Cyclone Bingo.
Yeah. No, it's funny that you say that because you'd read it on Twitter after games, and then me and Naz Long and Matt Thomas, and those guys would always go back after games and watch the games over, and you'd hear that, and then you'd see the stuff on Twitter and put two and two together. So that's funny. Yes, I do know Nerlens. We shared a couple high school classrooms together and a lot of long AAU road trips, that's for sure.
Did you see Fred's quote the other day about how much he hated recruiting? Did you see that pop across Twitter by any chance?
Yeah, I did see that. Did someone catch him off the record on that?
He was speaking at a coach's clinic, and I don't think he knew that reporters were there, would be my guess.
That's not cool.
No, I know. And I didn't, knowing Fred, I didn't, like, I don't think he ever liked recruiting. However, like, had he known reporters were there, I can't imagine he would have been that coarse about it.
Fred's a family man. He loves being around his family. And to be honest with you, like, Ames is not the easiest place to get to. And then some of the places that you're traveling to aren't the easiest places to get to either. So, you know, if he has to go to Mississippi to recruit a kid, you know, 3 out of the 4 weeks and then we don't get him, you know, I mean, sitting in airports, you know, that stuff's not fun. So, I mean, I can understand where he's coming from, but Fred never acted like that, acted like he didn't like recruiting when we were around him. He was always great with the recruits, always talking to them, you know, picking their brain on what they thought they were good at or what they thought they needed to work on. I mean, to say the least, I mean, he came to see me in Tilton, New Hampshire. If anybody, you know, the trip to get from Ames, Iowa to New Hampshire, first off, it's like an hour and a half flight to Detroit, then from Detroit, another hour and a half flight to Boston. Then it's an hour, 45-minute drive up there. And he did that, I want to say, for like a month and a half straight.
Yeah. That was a question from
Kurt. I was almost gonna tell him to have him bring me some sweet corn from Iowa. He was coming so often.
Who did you pick Iowa State over? It was like you didn't have a ton of offers right at the start, and they all kind of came in after you committed to Iowa State, right?
Yeah. So I picked. It was like Iowa, Iowa State, UMass, Providence. Man, it feels like it was yesterday, but it's actually a long time ago. But Maryland, University of Miami down in Florida, and then the University of Florida. But then, those guys came in late.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I remember you being committed, and then you like blew up at an AAU tournament, and then a bunch of dudes came in late. That's what I thought. Okay, here's a question from Jeff, and I think this is funny. I've talked to Monte and Naz and Matt about this. I think I wrote a piece on this last year. I don't know if I ever talked to you, though. So Fred leaves to the NBA and Steve Prohm takes over. What do you remember about like the first few practices under Steve Prohm? Because those guys told some pretty good stories about just the difference that there was right at first.
Okay, so everybody knows Fred is, you know, big offense. You know, obviously we worked on defense, but everybody who knows Coach Prohm knows you're going to buckle down and you're going to guard someone. So I think it was like the first practice. And mind you, I mean, if anybody knows what a closeout is, it's like sprinting and stuttering your feet and sliding. We had a drill. You can ask Coach Prohm about this. It was called the Vegas closeout. which when he announced it, I was like, oh my God, what can this be? And it was basically us going up and down the court for like a minute doing closeouts. I mean, by the time you're done, your legs are like jelly from like stutter stepping, sprinting. And we did it for like every practice in the summer. You should have heard some of the words that were coming out of guys' mouths. Not mine, because, you know, I never talk like that.
Of course.
Other guys, they were saying some bad stuff.
That probably, though, made you a better NBA prospect, because you had an elite offensive coach there for a few years, and then you had to focus more on the defensive end, right?
Yeah, everything the way it happened was a blessing. You know, I learned so much from Fred and so much from Coach Prohm just in 1 year. So, you know, I'm glad things happened the way they did. Obviously, I would have loved to play for Fred for 4 years, but that's not how it happened, and I loved playing for Coach Prohm. I mean, nothing but love for him, and he's such a stand-up guy, such a good dude. And the thing that he honestly taught me was just, you know, never to let things get in the way of, you know, what you want in life. And, you know, there's going to be obstacles, but you just got to keep pushing through. And I think he lives by that every day. And obviously, some people didn't think he was going to be successful, but look where he's at now.
Yeah, that does suck. I always feel bad for student athletes when a coach leaves. And I don't necessarily blame the coach. It's just, it's tough because, I mean, you guys commit somewhere, and especially in basketball, I feel like you commit to the coach more than you do the school in most instances, because it's just how the game, where I feel like in football, if a coach leaves, I mean, your guys are more committing to the program. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying you specifically. I'm just saying in general. And then a guy leaves, and it's just like, man, when you have that shift. Like, that had to be – you know, it turned out you and Steve have a phenomenal relationship, and you loved your time with him.
Yeah.
But that had to be scary when Fred tells you he's leaving, and you just have no idea what's going to happen at that point.
Yeah, no, that was it was tough. You know, I definitely don't realize how scary it was till after the fact, you know. And
yeah.
It was tough to see him go, especially because the guy that you wanted to be there and play for, you know, had left. But like I said, you know, you couldn't have had a better guy come in. And, you know, Coach Prohm really did a great job of just instilling us with confidence still. Didn't really try to change too much, but still put his stamp on what he wanted his program to be. And I give him credit for that, because the days were long and they were tough. But he stood his ground on how he wanted this program to be, and, you know, the manner he wanted us to carry ourselves in, on and off the court. And, you know, you have to respect someone that's not going to be pushed over and not going to let anybody skew their vision.
Annie reached out on Twitter, and she asked what you think of Abdul's chances of sticking with the Celtics. I'll kind of move that and just ask you like this.
Oh, I think almost 100%.
You think so?
Abdul is an NBA player, without a doubt. 100%.
He's been insane in the summer league. I don't know if you've been watching.
Yeah.
He's been really good.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at NBA players, Abdul fits right in. 6'7", 7'1 wingspan, and he's playing well right now, playing with a lot of confidence. And when we played him when I was down in the D League, he was phenomenal. You know, I see him. I even see him signing this year.
Yeah, I hope so. The only fear I had for Abdul is that he's on such a loaded roster right now. I'm with you. He's an NBA player. Even if it, for some reason it wouldn't be with the Celts, I think he lands somewhere. Josh wants to know what the biggest challenge you faced in that transition from college to the NBA.
You know, obviously on the court, obviously guys are bigger, stronger, faster. You know, and you know. Something I was talking to someone about today, you know, in college, you can not get your sleep and maybe be, you know, somewhat 1% off your game, and you can still, you know, win a game. In the NBA, if you're not getting your sleep, your rest, the right, putting the right things in your body, if you're 1% off your game, that's the difference between you winning and losing. So I think the biggest thing that, you know, that you have to adjust to is that you have to have a routine or create a new routine, because in college, everything was set up for you. You had weights. You went to the dining hall, ate breakfast that was prepared. And, you know, everything was set up for you. You went to class. You had practice, study hall, and then you did it all over again. In the real world, if you want something set up, you better pay someone or you're doing it all on your own. So you're not coming back and having like a chef cook something up for you. So you have to go grocery shopping, have everything in order, and really set your own schedule and be disciplined, which I think was tough at first. But, you know, I went to boarding school and lived at college, so I think I did a pretty solid job of that this year. But that's something I definitely want to buckle down on going into my second year.
Does it get difficult, though, when you're going back and forth between the D-League and in the NBA to kind of get into that type of routine that you were just talking about?
You know, it is tough, but going down to the D-League was good for me. I needed to get some burn and some run and really, you know, get to play again. I mean, it's tough, but, you know, they don't pay you to, you know, complain.
That should be like a T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't pay you to complain. J-I-N-D-M on the forum. Do you see yourself as a stretch four or a small forward? And how does the rise of positionless basketball impact your approach and what you work on?
I see myself as, you know, of both, a small forward and a stretch four, because, you know, it depends on the matchup. Like you said, if you're playing a Golden State team, you know, you'd be more of like a small forward type because, you know, they're playing small ball. Or I'd be against another team, I would be considered a stretch four. It just depends on the matchup night in and night out. So, you know, where the way the game's going with positionless basketball, I think that works in my favor because you need guys that can dribble, pass, and shoot. And that helps me. You know, I feel like I'm not pigeonholed into one position. I can play multiple positions, so that the wave of going to positionless basketball is helping me. And I think the biggest thing is everybody knows you need to start working on being a consistent 3-point shooter. That's what, if you want to stick in this league, that's what you have to do. So I think that approach is definitely one that I look at, just being an overall better shooter from the outside.
All right, George, just a couple more. And then I know you got to get going. I got this question probably 4 or 5 times. Everybody wants you to be.
Uh-oh.
No, it's good that they want you to be a coach at Iowa State at some point. What are the chances?
Really?
I mean, coaching, you've mentioned this before. Do you want to coach when you're done? Or do you want to? You could be on TV, too. I think you could. I saw you on ESPN. I know you could be on TV. What do you want to do?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if at the right time and it came up, I would love to come back to Iowa State and definitely, you know, be a coach for sure. You know, obviously the timing would have to be right and things like that, but I've always looked up to Fred and stuff that he's done. And, you know, if I could, you know, follow not identical path, but a path of how he did it. I'm not saying, you know, I want to coach in the NBA or anything, but I'd love to come back to Iowa State.
Would you rather, and, knowing what you know now, would you rather coach in the NBA or in college?
I shouldn't be answering this question.
Okay. Well, you can
answer. The NBA is tough. The NBA is it's tough. It's tough to coach in the NBA. It's definitely an adjustment from college, even with, like, playing styles and stuff like that. But to get back to your question, I could definitely see myself coming back to Ames and coaching there. Maybe I'll bring some of the guys I play with along with me.
Well, that'd be cool. I just wanted to touch on that real quick. It has been a blast for me this year to watch the Summer League because there's so many guys in there, and I don't know if they're all going to make rosters or not, but it seems like every time you turn on a Summer League game, there's a former Iowa State guy. Did they reach out to you at all? Did you reach out to them? I'm just curious what kind of feedback and tips you might have given the guys who are there now.
Oh, yeah, I talk to those guys all the time. You know, if they ask for advice, I'll give them advice. But, you know, the biggest thing I tell them is just be you, man. That's what got you this far. And these teams know what you can do, but, you know, just go out there and be you and try to dominate in the ways that you can dominate. Don't do stuff that isn't you.
All right. We have the guy who made the bingo card, the Ted Flint guy, you know?
He
sent me a lightning round to read to you, okay? And this is it, and then I'll let you go. Do you call it Flip Cup or Flippy Cup?
I think I call it Flip Cup.
Interesting.
That's funny. That is an Iowa game because I did not I did not know that.
Played that at my wedding.
I was doing flippy cup with water in high school.
Good for you. You're a good role model.
Kidding.
If somebody hands you a Miller Lite, how do you react? I think this is a shot at Miller Lite from Ted Flint.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think he likes Miller Lite. We can move on.
I'm not really a beer drinker, so.
You're a professional athlete. You should not be drinking beer. Good for you.
Exactly.
What do Jayhawk tears taste like?
Oh, so sweet. So sweet.
Would Jared Utoff have started on your Iowa State team?
You are trying to get me in trouble.
Trying to get you in trouble. Do you have a favorite basket that you made at Iowa State?
I definitely would have to be the one against Jared Utoff, that up and under to win against Iowa. That one.
That's a perfect transition right there, because we asked you about Utoff, and then you said that hitting a shot over him was the favorite shot.
Does that answer both questions just in one?
Now, you had to, like, play with him, didn't you, on the D-League? Isn't he your teammate now, he and Woodbury?
I did. Those guys are good dudes. You know, obviously I didn't like them when they were wearing the black and gold, but those guys are good dudes.
It's good, man. Well, we appreciate you, George. Thanks for coming back next week. Lindsay asked me to play in the golf tournament, but I'm actually gone down in Dallas for the Big 12 football stuff. But I'd love to see you, but thanks for coming on, and hopefully we can if they're not golfing, they can still contribute to your cause, right?
Yeah, exactly. Go on to the Habitat for Humanity in Central Iowa, and you can contribute. And I want to give a shout out, to Lindsay Fenley, because she's 7 months pregnant, and she does a lot with organizing my basketball camp every year, which is the 7th or the 18th and the 19th, right after the golf outing. And, she just does so much. I just wanted to know that I appreciate her and I want to thank her in front of everybody, so everybody knows I'm truly thankful for everything that she does.
That's good stuff, bud. Stay in touch, and we'll all be rooting for you here from Iowa. Okay, pal?
All right, brother. I appreciate you. Right. Any chance we get you up to Okoboji this weekend or what?
You're going to be at Okoboji this weekend?
I think there's a high percentage.
Shoot me a text. Maybe. So I was just there over the 4th. But I could have my arm twisted to a second trip to Okoboji for sure.
Hey, well, this is my first time, so I want it to be the best one.
Man, that sounds like a hell of a time. Stay safe. Stay, don't get into trouble.
I will.
All right, bud. Take care.
All right, you take it easy.
That's the great George Niang right there on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. He's the best, guys. He's the absolute best. I love a lot of guys who I've covered and gotten to know him. There's no better dude out there than George. And we got some really guys who are nipping at his heels because been some phenomenal guys around here over the last 10 years or so. Naz comes to mind. I love a lot of those guys. Niang's the absolute grade A human being. Phenomenal. Thanks to Heartland Flags. Go out because of that interview and buy yourself an Indiana Pacer flag. It's super easy. We've got the Heartland Flags banner ads all over CycloneFanatic.com, specifically if you look to the top right-hand corner of your webpage. And here's the deal. Click on the Heartland Flags from Cyclone Fanatic. We want that because it gives us credit, and then they know that they're hearing it on the podcast. And they've got a bunch of new Iowa State stuff. I'm looking at it right now. And then they also they've got every team. Go get yourself an Indiana Pacers flag and support George Niang. Thanks for listening today, everybody. It's been a couple of really good podcasts, a couple of days with Steve Prohm and now George Niang. Awesome. Have a great rest of your week.